Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassions and kindness toward us. Thank you for your blessings that is upon us, your spiritual blessings and physical blessings. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the breakthroughs you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for your helps we have received. Thank you for making all things to work together for our good. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the battles you fought for us and give us victory. Thank you for making us stronger than our weaknesses and enemies. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for keeping us in perfect peace and in good health. Thank you, Father. Thank you for crowning us with your honor and glory. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for your revelations that you show us per time. You said we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to know the truth. And thank you for setting us free through your truth. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Bible study classes we have had on this platform in time past. We thank you for so many things you have exposed to us. We are grateful because we know you will show us more from your word, even this evening. Thank you, Father. I cast out from this meeting every spirit of distraction assigned to distract us from getting the message the Lord wants us to get. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that you shall be blessed and strengthened and revived and encouraged and edified through the teaching tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching on persecution. Last week, we started a new subtopic that says persecution usually begins with verbal attacks. And under that, we looked at slander, infamy, and lies. So today we're going to be looking at persecutors twist words to defame. That is, if the persecutors are going to defame someone, they would look at the word the person has said and they would twist it. Yeah, they would probably take a record, maybe a voice recording or a video recording of what the person have said, and then they would twist the words of that person to defame that person, even though most times they would take the words of that person out of context. What the person did not mean, they would come out and say, this is what this person said, and this is what this person meant. And then they would say, that is blasphemy. That is wrong. Or that is, illegal or whatever. Yeah, so persecutors, they know how to twist words to defame. Yeah, so they targeted even Jesus during his earthly days. And now they are targeting the church and the ministers of God and every other Christian. Yeah. So they just want you to talk. Once you talk, then they would take a record of what you have said, or maybe download the video of you saying those words, and then they would sit down and look at how to twist your words in order to attack you. Yeah, they may even say you said something against the government and you deserve to be arrested. Yeah, even though you didn't you didn't, or let me say, you were not against the government, but they would take record of your words and they would give another meaning to it in order to cause trouble for you. Yeah, and to defame you. Yeah, so these things are happening. Yeah. I think I saw online. Yeah. Though the general overseer did not mention the country where it happened. Yeah. Was, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so I guess it was talking in a place. I don't know which place. Yeah, but it was talking to crowds of different people, and then he addressed them as ladies and gentlemen. And because of that, they got him arrested. Yeah, because they said that is wrong, that is an insult. Yeah, because the people in that country, they have different genders. Yeah, the people in that country, they believe some people are not ladies and they are not gentlemen. So they were like, what about those of us that are neither ladies nor men? Yeah, so they felt the preacher have offended them. So they got him arrested. I don't know if I get my point. The preacher innocently and sincerely said, ladies and gentlemen, while he was addressing the people. And they said, why would he call them ladies and gentlemen? Because there are people in the crowd that are neither ladies nor men. So why did they leave those ones out of his speech? I don't know if you get my point. Yeah, so in those countries, they believe there is another gender that is neither a man nor a woman. So I don't know what they call such kind of gender. Yeah, so I'm just trying to And I think praise the Lord. Okay, I believe you can hear me now. Yeah, I think there was another case in Canada where I think there's a law that any pastor that preach against homosexuals, that is, you mention that being homosexual is a sin, and if you don't repent, you are going to hell. Yeah, that if you mention that being a gay or being a lesbian is a sin, And if you don't repent, you are going to hell. They will arrest you for that. Yeah, even though they know it's in the Bible that such would do those practices, are framed and are going to face God's judgment if they fail to repent or if they refuse to repent. They know that it's in the Bible and that it's in the Christian faith. Yeah, they know such doctrine is in the Christian faith. Yeah, but they passed the law that any preacher found speaking directly. So what they are saying is that you can say repent from your sin, but you must not mention that particular sin. So you can say repent everyone from your sin, believe in Jesus and be saved. Yeah, they would not arrest you for that. Yeah, but if you mention the sin of homosexuality, and then you say God hates people that do such thing, and God is going to judge them, they will have you arrested. If you do that in Canada, and maybe in some places in Europe and America. Yeah, so I'm just trying to show you how persecutors can twist your words in order to attack you, yeah, and defame you. But what I know is that nobody, no person, no government can cage the gospel. That is what I know. Yeah, they may arrest us, they may put us in prisons, but they cannot stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can't. They have tried it. Yeah, they have tried it for years, but they just can't stop the gospel. Yeah, that is what I know. So don't let anyone prevent you from preaching the gospel. Don't let anyone shut your mouth. Yeah, be free, except Jesus himself tells you to not speak in a certain way. Yeah, but if Jesus has not put a restriction on your preaching, then you should not shut your mouth concerning preaching certain truths that are in the scriptures. So you should not, because of fear, close your mouth concerning preaching against evil and sin and wickedness that are in this world. Yeah, you should not close your mouth. Yeah, don't fear what anybody can do or wants to do to you. Open your mouth and preach the gospel as it is, and heaven will defend you. Yeah, heaven will defend you. In the early church, many of them got arrested and then God released them. Yeah, so And many of them were attacked, but God preserved their lives. And the persecutors couldn't kill them. Yeah, but if you are trying to save your life, Jesus said you are going to lose it. Yeah, if you keep your mouth shut and you refuse to preach the raw truth because you are scared someone will twist your words or get you arrested or kill you. And Jesus said that is when you will lose your life. But if you open your mouth with boldness and fearlessness, and you preach the word of God as it is, yeah, Jesus said, you will live. And I'm praying for you that you will live. In Jesus' name. Yeah, let us read that, please. Yeah, I want us to look at where he said, if you choose to save your life, you shall lose it. And if you lose your life, you shall find it. Yeah, open your Bibles to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life, I'll lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Yeah, can you see that? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Yeah, so when you consider your life so important, such that you are so afraid of being persecuted and of being killed for the sake of Jesus and his gospel. Jesus said you shall lose that life that you are trying to protect. Yeah, but if you lose your life, that is, you put your life on the line, or you lay down your life, or you surrender your life for the sake of the gospel, such that you fearlessly stand in public places to testify of the word of God and of the truths of God's kingdom. And you boldly speak against sin and evils and wickedness and immoralities happening in the earth at this time. Jesus said, you shall find life. I was in a meeting some years ago, and a missionary was teaching us, and I still remember the topic of the message. Yeah, I think it should be over 10 years now, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it should be over 10 years that I had that message. from the missionary preacher. Yeah, and the topic he was talking on was taking maximum risk. Taking maximum risk. And he was sharing with us how he risked his life several times for the sake of the gospel. Yeah, in fact, he told us how he walked into the camp of people that were known to be persecutors. Yeah, and he said he walked through landmines. I think that's what they call it, landmines, where there are some explosive things they would bury in the ground. Yeah, I think it's explosive weapons buried in the ground. So if you happen to step on one of those mines, the moment you remove your leg, it will explode and you will die. Yeah. So he said he walked through places where there were land mines. Yeah. I'm sure that's the name they call it. But I believe you know what I'm talking about. So you walk through those places, enter into where the persecutors or the unbelievers went. And he was preaching the gospel to them. Yeah, and they didn't do anything to him. So he entered alive, left the place alive. Yeah. So he was sharing with us that most people that die are people that are afraid of death. Yeah, he was saying when you are so afraid of death, that is when you're likely to die faster, or you're likely to die very quickly when you're afraid of death, than when you're not afraid of death. Yeah, so he said he would go to people that normally they carry weapons in their bodies to attack Christians. And he will stand before them, preach to them, even with the weapons in their bodies. And these people would not attack him. Yeah, though they would normally they would attack Christians and preachers, but he would go and talk to them, and they would do nothing to him. Yeah, because he was not afraid to die. He has already lost his life to Jesus. Yeah, so he was not afraid to die. He was so fearless. Yeah, so there's nothing they could do to him. Yeah, because when you have died spiritually, yeah, you have nothing to lose. I don't know if I get to my point. When you have lost your life, then you have nothing else to lose. Yeah, so this missionary was telling us that we should take maximum risk for Jesus, that we should not be so fearful concerning preaching the word of God and witnessing the gospel to unbelievers and sinners. Yeah. I pray that you will lose your life to Jesus, such that you will no longer be afraid of death. In Jesus' name. Yeah, you know, today, even inside the church, some pastors are still afraid of speaking the truth. Even inside the church, why they are preaching from the pulpit. They are still afraid of telling the telling the congregation the truth. Yeah, so if you are afraid inside the church, if you are afraid of telling the truth inside the church, then how will you be bold to tell the truth outside in public places or even on the internet? How will you be bold to tell the truth in public places if you can't even do it in your house, in your family, yeah, in your home? How can you do it outside? If you can't do it in the church, how can you do it in the camp of unbelievers and persecutors? I pray that the Lord give you a fearless and bold heart. In Jesus' name, let us look at some scriptures. Let us look at Isaiah 29, verse 21. Isaiah 29. Verse 21, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Let's look at it in New Living Translation. Isaiah 29, verse 21. Those who convict the innocent by their false testimony will disappear. A similar fate awaits those who use tricky to pervert justice and who tell lies to destroy the innocent. Yeah, the latter part really speak concerning the subject we are looking at. It says those who tell lies to destroy the innocent. Yeah, so persecutors, they would create lies, yeah, to destroy your reputation. They would create lies to destroy your image, to defame you. And then I said, they are able to do this even through your words. They are able to twist your words. Yeah, they are able to twist your words and form a lie from your words and use that lie against you. Yeah, you know, sometimes I've seen some clips on social media, on Facebook, on YouTube, where they would cut maybe 2 minutes video of of a message of a man of God. And they would now write something like, see what this man is saying. This is a false prophet. See what he's saying. they would cut maybe the message or the sermon the man of God preached was maybe 2 hours long. Then they would just cut a clip out of the 2 hours video. They would cut a 2 minute clip from that video. Yeah. And they will use what the man of God said and that point during his sermon. They will use it to attack him. Now, the issue is that some of the viewers of those 2 minute video clip, they have no idea what that man have been saying before he reached that place where the persecutors extracted his words. I believe you get what I'm saying. Yeah, the people viewing that video, they usually had no idea of what the preacher had been saying from the beginning of the sermon till that point. Yeah, and they had no idea what he said after that that 2 minutes expired. Yeah, but that short clip, is what the persecutors would cut from the entire message. They would cut that short clip, and then they would put a title upon it, and then they would say, "Look at what this preacher said. This preacher is a fake." Yeah, things like that. I'm sure some of you have come across such video clips on social media. And then you see people in the comment section start talking negative things. Yeah. Whereas they had no idea of what the man of God was preaching about before he came to the point they watched. Yeah, they had no idea what the sermon was all about. Well, because he mentioned about something, maybe he mentioned about a very sensitive issue, and then they cut out that place where he mentioned about something serious or sensitive, and then they start using that part of the message against him. Yeah, so you should watch out for things like that. Because it's going to be very common in these last days. So you should not be surprised if in the near future you see a video clip of myself. And then some people will say, "See what this man of God said." Yeah, it must be a false preacher. Yeah, so don't be surprised when you see such things, because that is what persecutors do, and they know how to do that a lot. Yeah, so let's look at another scripture. Isaiah 56, verse 5. Isaiah 56, verse 5. even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Yeah. It will give us everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Yeah, that is, if we fearlessly preach his word, yeah. The point is that it is better to be defamed here on earth and be famous up there in heaven than to be famous here on earth and be unknown in heaven. Now, do you know that there are people who are very famous here on earth, but they don't know them in heaven? In fact, the people that are really very known in heaven, they are not famous here on earth. Yeah. If we reach heaven, which I'm trusting God you will make it to heaven, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised. Because you're going to see people receiving great honor and rewards. You're going to see people sitting on thrones with crowns. Yeah. And you'll be surprised because you'll be surprised that these people weren't famous on earth. So how come they got this kind of honor and glory and greatness in heaven? Yeah, and the people you have so much respect for because of the fame they have right now, you may be surprised that they would get not much rewards in heaven. And you may not even find some of them in heaven. Yeah. I think there was a testimony of someone that was taken to heaven and was shown some things in heaven. And the person said that when, I don't know, maybe it was a brother or a sister, I'm not sure. Yeah, but the person said they told him or her in heaven that what many people take seriously here on earth is not what heaven takes serious. Yeah, that what heaven takes serious, many of us don't take them serious here on earth. Yeah, so the person was saying, here on earth, we take things like academic qualifications very seriously. We take making money and getting very rich seriously. And then we think getting married, having children, having houses, having cars, and getting famous seriously. Yeah, but in heaven, none of those things really matter. Yeah, none of those things matters. Yeah, the person said, what really matters in heaven is soul winning and discipleship. That is evangelism and discipleship. That is, you win souls and then you teach those people to grow in the knowledge of God. So they said, anyone that is doing things that pertains to winning souls and discipling souls, that heaven really are happy about those people. And if they do it well, they will become very popular in heaven. Yeah, so you may get to heaven and be shocked that you will see some very famous preacher here on earth in heaven. And then you may get to heaven and see that they got very small rewards. Yeah, whereas there's someone that is not well known, that is not popular here on earth, but he or she is doing the work of God with seriousness. And then heaven is taking record of that person. I pray for you that you will serve the Lord with seriousness, with the life you have here on earth, in Jesus' name. I pray that you will take seriously the things heaven takes seriously. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying having academic qualifications is wrong or is not good, or getting married is not good, or having children is not good. But all of those things, they will end here. Yeah, even if you are the richest person on earth, it will end here. Yeah, it ends the day you die. Yeah, but there are things that can't end here. They are eternal. They continue forever. And those are the things heaven takes very serious. Yeah. And in some years back, we have seen Christians who made up their minds that they don't want to be so entangled with worldly things. So some of them, they refuse to marry. In fact, some of them, they refuse to live a normal life. Yeah. They followed the path of soul winning. Yeah. Or what can you say about people like John the Baptist and people like Elijah, who don't even have a permanent place? People who go into the wilderness, they sleep in the bush. Yeah, they don't even have two clothes. They have just one clothes. Yeah, and they go everywhere like an homeless person. Whereas they had all that it takes to build a home or to have a house. Yeah, but they chose to be homeless. Yeah, they chose to be poor. Not that they can't, they couldn't be rich. Yeah, they chose a nomadic lifestyle and a very low lifestyle, because they want to get more closer to God. Yeah, and they want to be very useful to the kingdom of God. Yeah, and what about the early apostles? They are disciplined, people like Apostle Paul. Yeah, they are disciplined, they are self-denial, they are sufferings. Yeah. Why can't we learn from men like that in the scriptures? So these are people who completely detach themselves from worldly pleasures and achievement. Yeah, because they want to really serve Jesus deeply, if I can use that word. They want to serve Jesus seriously. And they want to serve him in a very profitable way. Yeah, let us not deceive ourselves. There's a limit to the success you have in ministry or in soul winning if you have not really consecrated yourself. There's a limit to the success we have. So I'm not against the preachers that are living luxury lives. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, but I'm just saying that it's a fact. Yeah, and it's very obvious in the Bible that if you are going to really produce great profit to heaven, you have to pay the maximum price. Yeah, and that price would demand that you consecrate yourself, that you cut off yourself from a lot of pleasures and a lot of luxury. Yeah. I know of people that, I mean, preachers that are rich, but oftentimes they would leave their beautiful houses and go into the wilderness. Yeah. Why? Because they know that self-denial, a discipline, a consecration is how we get more closer to God. So they felt like there will be distractions even inside their house that they built. Yeah. So they felt, I need to go somewhere to show heaven how consecrated I am. Yeah. They would withdraw from their beautiful houses and go into the bush to find God. So you might be asking, is God not inside their beautiful houses? Of course, God is there, but they know what they are doing. Yeah, so this thing is a fact. Yeah, and is a rule in the spirit realm. Yeah, you want to get more of God, you have to leave your comfort zone. You have to cause your body pain. because your body and your flesh does not want you to be profitable to God and His kingdom. Yeah, so we should follow the footsteps of those we have seen in the scriptures. I pray you will do that in Jesus' name. Of course, there are times to enjoy. There are times to celebrate. Time to eat and drink. Yeah, but those times should not be so much. Yeah, for those of you that want to really make impact in your generation. Now let's look at another scripture. Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Yeah. So that is why you must be careful what you say. We must be careful with our talk. And we saw in the Bible how they tried severally to entangle Jesus in his talk. And there are times they picked up stones and stoned him, but he escaped. Yeah, there was a time they were going to throw him off a very high cliff. He escaped too, because his time has not yet come. His time to die has not yet come. Yeah. My point is that we should be careful with our words. Yeah. Because there are people who want to trap us with our own words. Yeah, we should be very careful with our words. Yeah, there was a time they came to Jesus because they wanted him to say something that would violate the law, or the government law. So they came to him and then they say, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar? Is it right to pay tax to Caesar? Yeah, they wanted to trap him in his word by asking that question. But Jesus, who knew their intentions, he told them to bring one of the coins at that time. And then he said, whose picture is on this coin? They said, Caesar. Then he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God's. Yeah, so the people came to him, they know the answer, because they have been paying taxes to the Roman government. Yeah, and they know that anyone who stands against that will be arrested by the Roman government. So they were just looking for ways to bring him against the government. Yeah. And that was not the mission of Jesus. Jesus didn't came to take down the Roman government. Yeah. But that was what they wanted. So you should be careful how you respond to people's questions. Yeah. And how you talk when you are preaching. Yeah, some preachers got themselves into troubles because they were not wise in their speech. Yeah, so they said things that were not wise. Yeah, even though they had good intention, but what they said was not wise and it got them into trouble. Yeah, so if anyone comes to you asking questions and you don't have the right answer, just don't respond. Yeah, or maybe you have the right answer, but the Spirit of God in you is not permitting you to speak, then don't speak. Yeah, there was a time also they came to Jesus, they brought an adulterous woman. The woman was caught in the act of adultery. Yeah, and they brought the woman to Jesus. They said, according to the law of Moses, we have been commanded to stone this woman to death. But what do you think? Jesus kept quiet for some minutes. We don't know how many minutes. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Jesus kept quiet and was writing on the ground. And they were waiting. They wanted an answer. But yet he was writing on the ground. They pressured him more. Give us an answer. What do you say? What should we do? Yeah, but we saw that the answer Jesus gave was very powerful. The answer was so powerful that all the accusers, they left the woman alone one by one. Yeah, so my own question is why? Since they already had the law of Moses said, stone the person to death, then why can't they just go ahead and stone the person to death? Yeah, they were looking for trouble for Jesus. Yeah, because at that time, the Roman government forbid those type of penalties. You know, the Roman government colonized Israel at that time. Yeah, so all those laws that says if this person do this, stone them to death. They couldn't do that anymore because you know, they were scared of the Roman government. Yeah, and if they were going to do that, there are cases where they did that. Usually, they know where to do that. Yeah, and they know who to do that to. Yeah, so as at that time, some of those laws in the Old Testament, they were not following it because the government then, the Roman government did not permit that they do those things, especially maybe in some of the cities. Yeah, they are not permitted to do that in some of the cities, that is publicly stone someone to death. Yeah, and also if someone happened to be a Roman citizen at that time, it is wrong to say because that person violated the law of Moses, and then you now carry the person outside to stone the person to death. That would be a great offense. Yeah, because you have to treat Roman citizens specially. Yeah, so my point is that they would have done it if there was no government law against them. They would have taken the woman somewhere and stoned her to death. Yeah, and they would, and that would have been right according to the law of Moses. Yeah, so they bringing the woman to Jesus was in a way to cause trouble for him. Yeah, I hope you understand. Yeah, it was a way of causing trouble for him. And Jesus knew that too. Yeah, because if they had done that, Jesus wouldn't have said anything. I mean, if they had followed the law of Moses. And then another question is, where is the man? Because it was only the woman they brought to Jesus. What of the man she slept with? We seem not to know anything about the man. The man was not even mentioned in that passage. So my point is that Jesus knew the right answer to give at every point in time. Now, so we should pray for the spirit of wisdom to be able to respond to every man correctly. Yeah, and to be able to shut our mouths when we do not have the word to say at that time. Though there's a promise in the scripture that Jesus said, if they arrest us and bring us to the public platform and they ask us to speak concerning our faith or to defend ourselves, Jesus said we should not worry about what to say at that time, that the Holy Spirit will be the one to speak through us at that time. Yeah, but if you know that you don't have the right word, it is better to not speak concerning matters and situations that you come across on daily basis. I pray you will be wise in Jesus' name. Let us look at Mark chapter 12, verse 13. Mark 12, verse 13. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. So you can see that is what persecutors always do. They always want to catch you in your words. Yeah, especially when they know that they may get into trouble if they attack you without a reason. Yeah, because during the earthly days of Jesus, Jesus also had many friends, not only enemies. He also had friends. So there were people who believed in him, but there were those who does not, or who didn't, but there were those who believed in him. And in fact, there were those who are willing to kill for him. Yeah, so they would not want to attack him without a reason. Yeah, because it's going to cause a lot of trouble. It may cause a riot. Yeah. So that was why they keep coming to trap him in his words. Yeah, I pray that whenever your enemy comes to trap you in your words, they shall be put to shame in Jesus' name. Let us continue. Second to the last scripture we are looking at is Luke chapter 11, verse 54. Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Yeah, all these scriptures kept confirming the topic. Now let us look at the last scripture, Luke chapter 20, verse 20. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. Yeah. So that is what persecutors do. Yeah, that is what they do. But we thank God for Jesus. He was a man full of the Spirit. Yeah, and we saw also in the scriptures how he could read the hearts of the people. He could read their minds. And he could tell what is in their minds, what is in their hearts. Yeah, and usually you would speak directly to their heart because he knows what is in their heart. I pray God will raise for us in the church today men and women with such anointing. Men who we speak to the hearts of people and not just to their heads or their ears, but to their heart. Yeah, because they are able to discern what is in their heart of men. So if you're able to discern what is in the hearts of men, you'll be a great discipler, if there is a word like that. That is, you'll be a great teacher and you'll be a great discipler. You'll be able to disciple people. Yeah, because you'll be able to reshape their lives into who God wants them to be. And then you will also be able to get rid of people that are spies, people that don't actually want Jesus. You know, there are people like that in the church. They don't want Jesus. They are not born again, and they don't want to be born again. They are enemies of the faith. They are enemies of Jesus. They come with a mission. They come to attack. They are servants of Satan. Yeah, so if you as a preacher, you're able to discern the hearts of the people, you will know those among the crowd or among the congregation that are not actually for Jesus and that don't want anything to do with Jesus. And you will know those that really want God's kingdom and those that really want to be close to God. You will know. Yeah, so that's why I prayed that prayer, and I'm praying for you that God will give you that anointing and grace to be able to discern the intent in the heart of men in Jesus' name. Yeah, and there are things I cannot say to some people, because I could discern their hearts that they don't actually want. They don't want. Let me say, they don't want the truth. Yeah, and even if I tell them the truth, they are not going to change. Yeah, it's not as if I'm afraid to tell them the truth. But I know that even if I tell them the truth, they still will not believe. And they still will not repent. Yeah, so telling them the truth is just a waste of time. Because it will change nothing. Yeah, so I pray God give you that grace as well in Jesus' name. So we are going to stop here. Since there are no questions, we are going to pray. Father, we thank you for you're so faithful. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us from your scriptures. Thank you for showing us what persecutors do, how they take time to twist our words in order to trap us in our words and defame us. Thank you for showing us all these things. And thank you also for showing us how we should be fearless and bold, and how we should try not to save our lives concerning preaching your gospel and saving souls into your kingdom. Thank you for showing us all these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to be wise. I pray for you that you will know when to talk and when to shut your mouth. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.